So good to worship the Lord together, and so good to hear a lot of different voices helping lead that this morning and being led by the Holy Spirit. Such a fitting song that we just were singing and thinking about together, Past the Promise, not only as we've been celebrating baptism, but of course as we think about the mission we have as God's people, and such a wonderful fitting thing for us to sing and to be reflecting on. And so invite you into God's Word with me this morning to Luke chapter 10. As we continue to think about the mission we've been called to as God's people. We were actually in Luke chapter 10 last week, the back half of the chapter in the story of the Good Samaritan, as Pastor Tim led us in reflection on that. This week going to the beginning of that chapter, as Jesus here sends out the 72, sends them out on mission. And we're going to read the first 12 verses to really think about how Jesus calls them to this, how he describes the mission that they're called to. So this is the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as we come to this passage in the Gospel of Luke and Jesus sending out of the 72, no doubt as we just heard those words here, there are several things in this passage which are maybe a little more difficult for us to relate to. Some things that, because of distance and time and culture and geography, that we have a harder time understanding. Some of the communication that Jesus talks about, we're not quite sure what does that look like, maybe in our context. Some of the geography, for sure, in these Judean towns that the 72 are being sent to is different from ours. Some of the customs that he's talking about, like wiping the dust off your feet, and these things are foreign, perhaps, to us. Nevertheless, even as we recognize and speak into some of those cultural differences and the difference in time and generation, we know that some things come through very clearly as we enter into this text. And as Jesus sends out these 72, it's very clear that his will for his disciples, for any of us who would follow him, is to join him in his mission and bearing the good news of the kingdom of God. And so we want to think today what Jesus is pointing us to as we think about our lives maybe as individuals or families, our life as the church of Jesus Christ. And what do we need to hear from this passage that he's speaking to us today as we join him on that mission? And really the first and perhaps most needed thing we need to hear is that mission is for us, for each one of us who follow Jesus Christ. So if you look back in the Gospel of Luke, even just a short while, you see that Jesus had already sent out the 12, these special chosen ones, so the 12 disciples, maybe connected with the 12 tribes of Israel. They seem to have this special calling and gift. So, of course, Jesus would send them out to do his work, to be on mission. But now we come here to Luke 10, and it's 70 or 72, depending on how you interpret that particular number in the text. But a great deal more, a very full, kind of significant number in Scripture. In fact, that number 70, way back, the beginning, the book of Genesis, pointed to the 70 nations of the earth. And so I left a picture here, Jesus saying, "You, my people, are going to go out to the ends of the earth, right, to all the nations with the good news of my kingdom." But this here is a picture of how it's not just for a particular group, it's not just for some special people with a special gift that are called to mission. It's all of us. And that's the first thing we need to be reminded of, that this mission is for you And it's for me. It's not just a special group out there with some special gifts. It's for all of us. We're all called to mission when we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And please note here, and it's the same with the 12 as well, that these 72 did not come out of this, or not go into this, I should say, with some degree that they had hanging on their wall. That they didn't have some, you know, PhD that they had had in studies. That Jesus had given them some master class education at this point. No doubt, as they went out to go and do what Jesus calls them to do, they were worried about it. What is this going to look like? How in the world are we even going to do it? How are we going to go about this mission? And so as you look at yourself, you might say, well, I don't have training. I don't have a degree. Maybe you even say, I haven't even been a Christian all that long. But what we see here is that these are people who are walking with Jesus, who love him, who trust him. And that's all that's needed. So if you are walking with Jesus in faith, if you love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you trust in him, well, then you are called to mission as well. And you are fully qualified to be one of Jesus' missionaries in this world, whatever that might look like. So even as we stand here and talk about Mission Emphasis Sunday, really every single day for us as Christians is Mission Emphasis Day. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, I myself, and I want all of you to hear that as well, be reminded, this isn't just for a special group with a special gift, this is for all of us as followers of Jesus. Well, what does this mission look like, and what do we need to hear about it? If you're like me, often when we think about mission, and we even imagine going about the mission of Jesus and living and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, some of the worst possible outcomes will come to my mind. All these fears. What if I don't have the words to say? What if someone rejects what I have to offer about Jesus Christ? What if they raise a point that I don't have a good response to? Right? All these worst possible outcomes. I believe that's the enemy trying to sneak in to keep us from going on mission. And yes, as we'll note, there is risk that comes to following Jesus in this way. There's even rejection, as Jesus experienced rejection in proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. But first and foremost, I want us to see that the picture Jesus gives up front is one of harvest, is one of abundance, is one of fruit being born. And so it reminds me, and I want us to think about it today, that as we go on mission, we need to be praying for and expecting that the Lord's going to provide plentiful harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Yes, the workers are few, but pray or ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. The first picture Jesus gives here is that we should expect that there is a harvest, an abundant harvest to be had. The reality is that there is a great need across the world and a great longing for the good news of God's kingdom. For the good news that Jesus Christ has come to save and to give new life. Now I know that as we go out into communities, as we meet people, as we look at the world around us, that many would maybe not give voice to these exact things. But that need and that longing is there. Only God can fill the hole we have in our hearts, the hole we have in our lives. Only the Lord can bring us back to life and the purpose he created us for. And when Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, he's pointing to the reality that there is this need and there's also this longing to know the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we go out, we go knowing that there is this need, and we go out knowing that as we follow Jesus in faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that there is going to be responses of faith, that there is going to be people who receive this as the good news that it is, and give their life as well to Jesus Christ, and even join us in the work of mission for Jesus. I think it's striking to note as Jesus sends out these 72, as they return back, they come back reporting harvest-type results and the things that the power of the Holy Spirit is doing from them. And Jesus, of course, says at that time, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The power of God is greater than any other power in this world. And we need to be reminded of that as we go on this mission. Yes, there's risk, there's rejection that will come, but there is also a plentiful harvest. And we're reminded, too, in this word that God is in control of all of this. He is overseeing it. All of this happens through his guidance, through the power of his Spirit. Ask, Jesus says, the Lord of the harvest the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest field, we're told. God's overseeing all of this. To me, that's a word of comfort. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on you and our eloquence or our strength or our power, or even our own faith. Right? It depends on God and his sovereign will and his grace and the power of his Holy Spirit. And it frees us to follow him in faith on this mission that we've been given. But we're called to ask the Lord. Ask him to send out more workers. Ask for wisdom as we go out to follow him. Ask for fruitfulness to see this encouragement, to see these kind of results. The Lord's in control. And as we go out in the power of his Spirit, we can expect to see his power at work. Now, of course, Jesus points out, and we need to talk about it, that there is risk and there is rejection when we follow him. Of course, Jesus himself knows this. Jesus himself, of course, we're told, left heaven to come down to us, to take on our human flesh, right? To even go to the cross, face death itself for us. Jesus knows all about risk, all about leaving, you could call a comfort zone for the mission of God and bringing his kingdom into this world. And Jesus knows as well about rejection. While many responded in faith to Jesus, many others did not, even amongst the people of Israel. And so Jesus knows that this will be the truth for us as well. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. It's risky. And we look at verses 10 to 12, and Jesus says, this is what happens, and this is how you respond when a town rejects you. It's not a question of if, but of when, as we follow Jesus on mission, that we'll meet some times of rejection. But as Jesus calls us to be aware of that, I believe he's really calling us to trust him in the midst of these things. As I said, it's so easy for us to be turned away from mission and turned away from even thinking sometimes about how we live into the kingdom in our daily lives because we're so afraid of the risk, or we're so afraid of getting out of our comfort zone, or we're so afraid that someone might reject us. But knowing that Jesus has gone through this, knowing that Jesus is going before us, knowing that he is our good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, knowing that Jesus said, I will lose none of those the Father has given me, but will raise them up at the last day. Knowing that Jesus has said, surely I go with you always to the very end of the age. Can we trust him in this and step out in faith? Jesus is calling us to enter the fray, to take some risk with him. You probably know better than I do maybe what that looks like in your life. It doesn't have to be, I'm giving up everything to go across the world into some mission field. Perhaps it is that for you. But perhaps it's much more basic as you look at your week ahead and the days ahead of the greater risk that the Lord is calling you to as you follow him in mission. As we think about that, I want to really maybe get down to more of the nitty-gritty and think about what this looks like in our lives. As Jesus here gives the directions for these missionaries he's sending out, he says, you know, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals, extra pair of sandals with you. Don't talk to anyone on the way. We might say, well, what is that? How do we think about that in our lives? Jesus is really pointing out that this message and this kingdom work is urgent. It's the most important work in the world. It's a message that needs to go out. And to me, it reminded me that I need to be giving the mission of God priority and focus in my life. And I need to make myself available to the leading of the Holy Spirit to follow God in this work. Now, I want to be honest together as we talk about this. And I'm not up here talking, you know, as one who's kind of above you, but as one who's with you in this. So often in our lives, the mission of God can take a back seat, can it, to many other things. And I'm not even talking about what our schedules look like in a week, although it can be that. I'm just talking about how so often I can put God completely on the shelf. I can put him just up there, and I'm going about the business of my days and my weeks without even really giving much thought to how does this relate to the kingdom of God and my mission as one of God's children. How does that enter into what I'm doing with my family, what I'm doing in my work, what I'm doing at school, whatever those things might be. Jesus' reminder here is that this is the urgent calling we have. This is our really lead function, as it were, as his children in this world. It needs to be our priority. It needs to be our focus. It's so easy to get distracted. Someone comes and talks to you along the way, and suddenly you're off track. It's so easy. Things come up in our lives, and we have this going on at work, and this going on at school, and we have this going on in our families, and this going on in our relationships, and it's so easy to kind of put God on the shelf in this mission that he's called us to. And like I said already, as you think about that in your life, it probably doesn't mean that you have to go about and look and say, boy, I need to uproot my whole schedule. I need to cancel everything I'm doing and now go across the world. It might be that for someone. But I think for most of us who are following Jesus, this doesn't involve a complete rearranging of our schedule. It involves thinking more about how we are in the midst of our schedules and how we enter that thinking about who God has called us to be and the kingdom of God coming into this world and how we are messengers of that. So yes, many of you are going to go to work this week and spend a lot of hours at work. What does it look like for you to be a bearer of God's kingdom message in your workspace? How can you be more intentional about that? Maybe for you, you need to say, well, at the middle of the day, I just maybe need to take a few minutes even to read some of God's word or to come before him in prayer just to reorient me back to who God is, what he's done, and my mission in following him. Maybe you need to write something at the start of a day or the start of a week to say, I want to think about these things, how I treat my employees, how I talk to my boss, how I treat my coworkers, how they are going to experience me. And then at the end of the week or the end of the day, revisit that and think about, how am I representing myself as a bearer of God's kingdom, as one of Christ's children? Maybe as you go to school, you can do something similar. If you're one who's retired from work and maybe you have more opportunity to travel and see different things, as you go about, you maybe meet some strangers on the road. How are you interacting with them? How do you bear God's kingdom toward them? Do you listen in a different way? Are you looking for different things? As you enjoy God's creation, as you go out and maybe do those things, especially as we look towards summer, how do you bring the message of God's kingdom as you interact with God's amazing creation? As maybe you speak of that with those around you. You see what I'm saying? That, you know, it doesn't often involve a massive change and re-upping of our whole schedule, but maybe just more intentional thought about how we bear the message of God's kingdom as we have time with our family, time at work, and time of enjoyment and rest. What does that look like for us individually, as families, as a church community? How can we give more priority and focus to this? And I think that availability piece is really important as well. Jesus really says, you know, travel light. Don't have a bunch of baggage, so to speak, going with you, because then you're more nimble. You're more able to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be available for the leading of the Spirit. Be ready to follow. I think I've shared this story probably with you before, but for me, it's always worth revisiting. An experience I had of this, I think really the Lord just thrust me into. When I was in seminary, I had the opportunity for an internship in Brazil, working with, at that time, the Back to God ministry. And I went there, and I didn't really have, I certainly brought a suitcase with me, I had some baggage, but I didn't have much else as far as something to fall back on. Something to keep me unavailable from following God's lead. Didn't have anybody else traveling with me. I was just there. And because of that, I think the Lord forced me to be available and to listen to the leading of his Spirit and to go along with wherever he was going to lead me in that time. You're going to stay here. You're going to do that. You're going to go with this group and that church and this one. And I just went. And as I look back, I still, even after many years, say that's one of the most fruitful and, for me, growing experiences I've had in my life. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the Lord said, you're going to be available for me and for the leading of the Holy Spirit in what I'm calling you to do for these 6 or 7 weeks here. What does it look like for us to maybe free up a little space so that we're available, we can be nimble with the leading of the Holy Spirit? As we think about that, and hopefully you're reflecting with me on what this might look like in your life, what is this message we're bearing? It's interesting that Jesus doesn't give much instruction about what exactly these 72 are to say, but what he does say, I think, is what we need to hear. Whether they meet reception in a town or whether they meet rejection, the message is really the same, isn't it? The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. And the reminder for me is that we bear the message of God's kingdom. That is who we're representing. That is the message we want to go forward in the way we're living, in the way we're acting, in the words we're saying, that God's kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is a massive topic, the kingdom of God. We can do a whole series talking about this. But as we think about bearing that message in our lives, I think it's worthwhile to say that this is not the message of some earthly kingdom. It's not the message of some earthly country or earthly ruler or earthly political party. It is not any of those things. And if I'm being frank, I think a lot of times as Christians, we struggle with bearing those things and having that be our message and what we represent rather than the message of God's kingdom. We bear the message of the kingdom of God, the realm where Jesus is king and he's ruler over all, the place where those who profess their faith in Jesus belong now and forever, the kingdom that has broken into this world, and you and I are evidence of that through the faith we express in Jesus Christ, a kingdom that's broken into this world and is going to overcome all other kingdoms and rulers and authorities. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That's the reality we are pointing to. That's the message that we are bearing, the kingdom of God. And so, yes, there's other words, of course, we might say. There's other things that the Lord might particularly lead us to talk about or to live toward as things are going on in this world. But behind all of that is the good news that the kingdom of God is breaking into this world. And that is seen in us, and we know and trust it's coming in full. Friends, as we close and think about this calling and bearing that message in our lives, it's so important to be reminded that Jesus Christ is before us, he's behind us, he's with us in all of this. Sometimes when I think about bearing the good news of God's kingdom, I can feel ashamed at what maybe I'm not doing or what I am doing. I can maybe feel a little bit of a guilt trip even of how I should be able to do more. And yes, we need to be called to our responsibility. But first and foremost, we're reminded this is possible for us. We can do this because Jesus Christ has saved us. Because we serve a risen Savior as we've been celebrating this Eastertide. And he has forgiven our sins. And so this is our joyous life now, to follow him in mission. And I love the fact that at the outset of this story, we're told that Jesus sends the 72 to the places he is about to go. The places he's about to go. Jesus is going to follow them there. They just prepare the way for Jesus. And so think about that with me in your life as you go into this week. How Jesus is sending you to your school, to your work, to your home, to your family, to whatever it might be, the park in the neighborhood. And he's sending you there, like John the Baptist, to prepare the way for him as his witnesses, because Jesus plans to come there after you and work in that person's heart or those people's heart or whatever way he's going to work. He plans to follow you there. And of course, as Jesus is coming after you, he's way before you through his Holy Spirit. And as he's promised, he's with you every step of the way as well. Never leaves us even for a moment. And so we can be encouraged, as we are all called to mission, that we are all called to mission by our Lord Jesus Christ. And his power is the power that's changed our lives. His power is the power that overcomes the evil one. His power is the one that says, I see Satan falling like lightning from heaven. It's the power of the blood of Jesus that has written your names in heaven. And so knowing that, trusting in that, yes, we are called to mission, but it is a mission of joy because this is who we are. And we know and we believe that the kingdom of God is breaking into this world on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much. And we are in awe of what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. The fact that we can be sitting here today and reflecting on a mission that you call us to with you, to bear the message of the good news of your kingdom, is incredible. It's really almost impossible for us to grasp because we were dead, but you have brought us to life through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, now with joy, we seek to follow you. And we maybe don't know exactly always what that looks like. But Lord, we want to follow you. We want to bear the message of your kingdom. So Lord, empower us through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, provide more and more workers to go out into the harvest field. And Lord, we pray that we with joy would see your power at work, working even somehow through us to plant more seeds of your kingdom, to call more lost sinners home, to draw more into this incredible good news that your kingdom, Lord, is coming on earth as it is in heaven. We give you all the thanks and praise, Father, for all this is from your hand. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.